Rabbi Sai, today's daf is daf Chof Tes. We're holding the Mishnah on Chof Ches Amud Beis, the last two lines. And we're continuing to talk about the inyan of a tabach, a shoychet, a butcher, who is selling meat on Yontif. And as we've learned already before, you are allowed to go and sell meat on Yontif. However, it's got to be with ganze shinuyim, so it shouldn't be bederach mekach umemker. We learned, for instance, yesterday that when you're weighing the meat, you cannot go and weigh it against a normal weight. You have to do it against a kli or a kupitz. According to the Chacham in our Mishnah, you're not allowed to even use a meznayim kol iker. You can't even use it to go and protect the meat from the mice, we learned in the Gemara. So there have to be a number of shinuyim to be able to allow for the sale of meat. Why did they allow for the sale of meat? Because in the good old days they didn't have refrigeration, they didn't have freezers, and therefore if a person had the most delicious, wonderful meat prepared from Erev Yontif, by Yontif morning it may have spoiled, and therefore people needed fresh meat because Ein Simchela Bebusa V'yai, and people wanted that meat. So they were permitted, the Shochtim, to go and Shecht. You're allowed to go and Shecht. And the shoychet doesn't have to give out presents. He can go and sell the meat, but he's not allowed to specify any amounts. He's not allowed to go and talk about prices. He's not allowed to talk about weight. He gives everybody a piece of meat. And Nuch Yontif, they'll try to figure out how much they owe. Yes, Rabbi Cohen.
I think there's an halacha that it's shechet la'atzmoy, if he goes and shechts himself.
Mm-hmm.
It's a question whether he's allowed to sell it too, because he's a negei b'dov.
It could be, but that's not today's discussion. We'll mention him another time.
How do you say over here, he's involved in selling it?
No, exactly, he's not trying to for
the
himself.
Butcher.
He's shechting it for the oilam.
The talbuch was also the shechet.
Yeah, no, but it could be the butcher.
Yeah.
It could be even the cook.
It says, it says
so let's look at the Mishnah. Exactly, let's look at the Mishnah. Lo yoimar udam, let's see the Mishnah, two lines in the bottom. Lo yoimar udam litabach shekoil li bediner bosa. I'm the customer, I come into the butcher store, I say to the butcher, to the shoychan, I tell him, I'd like to have a piece of meat l'kuvet yontif. Don't say I want a dinner's worth. A dinner, of course, in the terms of a matbeya. Now, they tell the story about the Tzeilem Aruv. At the annual Tzeilem dinner, he used to say that the word dinner has three badaitungin. Badaitung means three definitions. He said in the Haim, dinner means that it was thundering. So, gedinnet. He said in time in Chazal, dinner was the name of a matbeya, a name of a coin. He says, here in America, dinner might have vetchera, that means supper. So he said that we hope that Han Panacht, by the Tzeilem Medina, the Alle Drei definitions of Alle Mekiyem Ven. By Dame Dinner is all dinnerin mit dinnerin. At this dinner, it should thunder with money with a dinner. Anyway, so the dinner that we're talking about over here is a Matbeya. So you now let it go and say to the Tabach, I want a dinner, like $5 worth, $10 worth, $50 worth of meat. But rather, Avos Shoichet Umachalik B'neim. Rather, the Shoichet, the Katsiv, should go and take the whole animal, divide it up into 20, 30, 50 slices, whatever it happens to be, and give everybody a slice, and then after Yontif, they'll work out a price, they'll work out the payment. So what should you do? If you cannot go and say to him, Shkoli b'dinner b'basar, what should you say? You say, okay, first thing you say, good Yontif, v'smachtif, v'shetza, blah, blah, okay. What would you like? He's got to say something, right? So, Timor Heichi Yovitz, what should he say? Says, Timor Ki Dehob De Besura Amre Tarta Upalgi Tarta. In Surah, they would say, I'd like to have a tarta of meat or a half a tarta of meat. Ben Narosh Amre, they said, I want to have a chelka or a palgu chelka. A chelka or a half. Bibadisa Amri.
That means a
I'm in it when I finish, Rebbe, I'm a minute. Bibadisa Amri Uzia Upalgu Uzia. I'd like to have an Uzia, a half an Uzia. Ben Harp Koid Ubamosa Machasia Amri River Upalgu. Palgi River. So what's the answer? What is Igmar telling us? Let's look at the top Rashi. Surah Amri, Darkar loyma letabach, tenli tarta oi plag tarta. Give me a whole tarta or half a tarta. In Narish they would say, chelka oi plag chelta. Pabadisa Amri uzia. Says Rashi, kolatabochim hoyu menachin behemoiseyem, beshove, kach be kach netochem and abehema. They were standard slices that they used to go and sell on a regular basis.
Like here.
Standard amounts. You would come into the store and you would go and get one rib steak. You would go and get one full chicken. You'd go and get one shoulder steak. You'd get one portion of chop meat. They were standard sizes that they used to go and sell. Well, oisa netochem karlu besur and tzura, the name of those standard sizes were tarta and narish to a chelka, pabdisa was uzian arpakoid river. So therefore, you don't go into the store and say, I want $5 worth of meat or $100 worth of meat. You would go and say, I want the standard size. I want a tarta, or I want a half a tarta, or I want two tartas, or five tartas. In other words, whatever the standard normal item for sale, that's what I want. The normal standard unit. I want 1 unit, 5 units, 10 units, etc.
What's
Masa Mechasi? Masa Mechasi is the name of a place. Masa Mechasi is the name of a place. Just like Nehar Pekoy is the name of a place, Nehar Masa Mechasi is the name of a place.
Even though Narish sounds like it was in Ungarn.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that could be. Zog the Mishnah Baita. Now we're not talking about selling meat. Now we're talking about selling other types of groceries. Oyma Adam Lachmeir, a person goes and says to his chaver, Malei Likli Zeh. Nowadays, when we come to the store, you already have everything bottled and packaged and sealed and all that. In the good old days, you used to go and bring along your own bottle, and you would go and say to the moicher, please give me fill up this bottle with wine, fill it up with oil, etc. So now, on Yom Tov, what are you allowed to do? Oimer Odom Lachveir, a person could go and say to the grocer, Malei Likliza, fill up this container, Avaloi Bemida, but not Bemida. What does that mean, Avaloi Bemida? We're going to have a machloikis in the Gemara, what that means. So stay tuned. To Pshatim Avaloi Bemida. Rabbi Huda Oimer, Im Hoyekli Shalmida, Loyim Alenu. In other words, this wasn't just a regular bottle. This was a bottle that had on it notches that went from the bottom to the top, showing with a pint, a quarter of a pint, a whole pint, a gallon, a half a gallon, whatever. A klish l'mida, lo yimaleno, that you're not allowed to fill. Again, we're going to have a machlokes in the Gemara. What does Rabbi Yehuda mean? Let's wait till we get to the Gemara. Ma'aseh bi'abashol ben botnis, shoyim amali midoisa mi'erev yontif, v'noistam l'lekuchais bi'yontif. Abashol ben botnis was very concerned about going and measuring any type of liquid on Yontif. So what would he do? Already from Erev Yontif, he would go and fill up 100 bottles up to the Mida. In other words, if a person wanted a pint, a quart, or a gallon, he already filled up the bottles from beforehand. And anybody that came in, he would know which one he's taking. Even though it's a little kuchais, he didn't have to go measure. And Yontif was already pre-measured. But besides the case of pre-measuring because of this din, Abishol Oimer, after Moira Yisikein, Abishol said about Abishol ben Botnis, they had the same name, but apparently these are two different people. Abishol said about Abishol ben Botnis, that after Moira Yisikein, not only for Yontif, but even for Chol HaMoed. Now, even though Chol HaMoed is no problem, because Chol HaMoed, you're allowed to go and do business, Leches Dover Oved, people need wine, people need food, no problem. But B'nei Berurei HaMidois, or Birutzei HaMidois. What does Birurei HaMidois mean? So we'll see Mechem the Gemara, that this is referring to the fact that when you go and pour any type of liquid like wine, and particularly beer, if any of you have ever drunk beer, as you know, if you pour it quickly, the whole foam comes on the top, and it can go and take a minute or two or three or four until it finally all subsides and all comes down. So Abishol ben Batnes was very, very concerned about the fact that if you're going to pour all the wine out on Chol HaMoed, if people are going to be in a hurry, what's going to happen is they're going to lose out that small percentage that it fills up to the top because of the sods, because of the foam, etc. The froth, atazai, the froth. And as a result, he's going to be cheating them. So even for Chol HaMoed, he used to go and do it in advance. But not only Chol HaMoed, Chol HaMoed, af b'choil oisekein, even during the week, during the whole year, they used to do that. Nei mitzui hamidos. What means mitzui hamidos? So Rashi explains the difference between berurei hamidos and mitzui hamidos. Berurei hamidos are referring to the type of liquid that causes a foam, a froth, a suds, whatever you want to call it, at the top, and you have to wait until it all subsides, and then you can go and fill it up again until it comes to the top. Mitzvah Midois is referring to something like an oil, where you go and pour the oil, as you know, you can keep on pouring another drop, another drop, another drop. So he used to go, and the day before, he would already take the large container of oil and let it start pouring into the small container until the small container was totally filled to the top, and you didn't lose anything by the fact that the oil was thick and it took a long time to drip and didn't all drip out at one time. So therefore he also did that during the year, not only during Yontif and during Chol HaMoed. Well, we'll see that in the Mishnah Nigmar. Anyway, getting back to the beginning of the Mishnah, we have machloik between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda. Tanakama says you can go and say Malei Likli Ze Avaloi Bemida. Rabbi Yehuda says Im Hoye Kli Shal Mida Lo Yimalenu. Two pshat in the Gemara. First pshat is Omar Yehuda Mishmuel. What means Avaloi Bemida? Avaloi Bekli Hamiyuchad Lemida. Avakli Hu Oimed Lemida Yimalenu. You're not allowed to use a kli hamiyuchad lemida, but you're allowed to use a kli hu oimed lemida. What's the difference does it make between the two? Is yogd Rashi. Kli hamiyuchad lemida means a mida that he's been using now for the last year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, givaldik. The kli hu oimed lemida is the ultimate successor and replacement mida. If and when the first mida ever breaks, falls to the ground and shatters, everybody says mazel tov, but he needs a new midah now. That's the kli hu oimed lemida. And therefore, when it says in our Mishnah, malei li kli ze avaloi bemidah, means don't use the regular one that he uses throughout the year, because that's uvdin dechoil. Everybody sees that he's using the same midah that he used yesterday, the day before, and the day before. It looks like a weekday event. Rather, what he can use is, if he wants the kli hu oimed lemida, that's the backup one, which he's never used before. It's brand new. He's waiting to use it, but he's never used it. That he can use, because that'll be nikar. Oh, this is the chazah yontif tikkun mida. It's not his weekday mida. It makes a shinoi.
But there's no such thing if you want to tikkun mida.
There is, if he hasn't used it yet.
So you use something as a substitute that's similar to measuring.
There is a problem, but he's not measuring. There is a problem, but
it's not a meter.
The problem
it hasn't
is
been used yet as a meter.
The problem is uvdin dechoil. You're allowed to go and. Right, it's uvdin dechoil issue. Therefore, we have to. You're doing fine. It's uvdin dechoil, and that's why you. 100%. Exactly. That's why you have to do it. A shinoi, and the shinoi is don't use the regular one, use a special one, which is the one that's oimed lemida for the future. Yeah.
Are we talking about a kli that once it's full we know the mida, or is something like today would be like a measuring cup?
A measuring cup that has notches on it that shows 5 ounces, 10 ounces, a quart, etc., etc.
So not just something that's like, this is the measuring cup for one cup, but you don't know what's half of it exactly, if it's half a cup.
You have to look in the art school if they have pictures, but it means a cup that was used for measuring throughout the year, whether or not it had notches every single half an ounce, basically you might have a cup, 5 cups, 3 cups, whatever it was.
Sold,
exactly.
They should know.
Stand it. Yeah, Rabbi Cohen, what's up there?
Mida itself you're not allowed to use.
Right.
It's something that has the capacity of being a mida if they would make marks on it to make a mida, you understand, but it's not a mida itself.
Okay, so that's your point, that's Rabbi Yehuda. The also Rabbi Yehuda Lameimah, he had to do it. Now in our Mishnah, when he says lo im hoye kli shel mida lo yimalenu, afilu kli hu oimed lemida lo yimalenu, even if it's a kli that has never been used, this is brand new, it's the replacement kli, also don't use it. Why? Because Alma Gabi Simchas Yom Rabbi Yehuda Lechomer, Rabbi Yehuda is more machmir than the Rabbanon, and Rabbi Yehuda says nein, don't use even the one that has never been used before. Don't use it.
Is it don't use it? Don't fill it.
It's for me. It's for me.
We're talking about it. I don't mean that you can't drink from it. You can't go and use it for purposes of our Mishnah for selling to someone and dispensing to someone. Why?
The washing of is Simchas Yom Tov. Because he's
machma
over here.
Avani
it's
a waste
of
Chosyam,
but
if
you can't do
it. Okay, say, Mishnah. The Chacham in our Mishnah say you cannot use the regular Kli Mida to go and dispense and to go and sell and distribute wine, Lamashal, but you can use a backup Mida that has never been used before. The Behuda says, nein, even the backup which has never been used before, you cannot use on Yom Tov. Kum to Chosyam, Behuda is machma. machmir, and the Rabbanan is meikel. Frag the Gemara, v'ipcha shemin lehu. Yesterday we had a mishnah ditnan. Rabbi Yehuda oimer shoykel odem baser keneged akli ukeneged akupit. If you want to go and weigh your meat on Yom Tov, don't weigh it against a weight, but you can weigh it against a kli or a kupit. Kupit means a butcher knife. V'chum oimrim ein mashkich mekafan naim galikul. You can't use a kafmas naim at all, even to go and hide it and secure it from the mice. So Alma so we see Rabbi Yehuda's lekula, Rabbanan lechumra. It's just the opposite. It doesn't make sense.
So it's in Hilchas Udan Lechayel.
Exactly. It's Kasher Rabbi Yehuda, Kasher Rabbanan, Rabbanan.
One Kasher.
Yes, Mendy.
One, I was sure, they're machmer both places.
So why are they machmer?
It doesn't make sense.
In which way?
I cannot use a keli which is previously used for measurements. Also, chumra.
Any measurement.
They're machmer to an extent.
100%.
But
is incorrect. Relative to each other, he is Mekel and he is Machmer. 100%.
It's like you say, when they are consistent, they're Machmer.
Well, that's going to be part of the Teretz.
Machmer as much. That's really, if you are a big Machmer, but you're not Machmer as much as the other guy, you're Mekel.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it is.
Exactly. Anyways, the Chastira, Rebuta, Sira, Banarban. So, what do you want? Rebuta, Rebuta, Lekasha, Hosam, Bishaina, Oymid, Lamida. The reason why Rabbi Yehuda said yesterday that you're allowed to go and use a kli or a kupit, because these are not measuring items. You use the kupits to go and cut things. You use the kli as a chvaisa coffee mug to go and drink coffee. You happen to know that this coffee mug is a pound heavy, and therefore you want to use it as a weighing.
But it's maznayim, not the kli. It's maznayim that the chacham are prohibiting.
We're not talking about chacham now. We're talking about Yehuda. The reason why yesterday Rabbi Yehuda said you can use a kupit or a kli, you can use a kupit or a kli, because it's not miyuchel lamida, it's used for other purposes. So that's a big shinoi, no problem. Here we're talking about it's taka replacement kli, it's never been used before. It's a kli, which is it's a measuring kli, so therefore you haven't used it. Maskim, okay, it's brand new. You toivel the mikveh yesterday, but the point is that's oymel lamida, so that's why he's machmer over here. The rabban rami loy kasha. Hasim ka avi ki oven dechayil. Yesterday he was doing ki oven dechayil. Why is that ki oven dechayil? Says Rashi. If you look at Rashi in the middle of the amud, sometimes the storekeeper doesn't have his weights available. Says a backup, if he doesn't have his regular weights, his litter, his pound, his 3 pounds, his kilogram, whatever, he doesn't have those things. So instead, what does he use? He knows that his mug happens to be a half a pound. He knows that his kupets is 2 pounds, and he uses that. So that's uvn dechayil. That's pretty normal, so to speak. That's why the Rabbanan said, don't use the keli or kupets, because you use that as your backup option if your weights are unavailable. Since this kli was never used before, says Rashi, adain liyata tivoy shu kli zelamida. This was never ever used. You have to make a shechianu for using it for the first time. So therefore, that's why the Chum say you can use such a backup replacement kli, since it was never used. The kupits and the kli have already been used a number of times in the past. Last week, a month ago, my weights were, they were at the inspection, the government had a special inspector who was checking them out, so I used my kli and a kupits for a day or two. So therefore, I've used those. That's of the dechayil. Masha'en came. This kli was never used before. That's why it's a shinui according to Rabban. Okay, anyway, bottom line, what was the first pshat that we had in the Mishnah when the Tanakhama said, Malei li kli zeh avaloi b'mida? The words avaloi b'mida means don't use the regular measuring cup, but you can use the backup replacement that has never been used before. Well, Rabbi Yehuda said, nein. If the backup replacement was a kli shel mida, it's a measuring cup, lo yimalyenu, you're not allowed to go and use it, even though it's never been used. That was pshat number one. Rav Omar says, I have a new pshat in the Mishnah. My avaloi b'mida shelo yizkor loy shem mida. That when it says in the Mishnah, Malei kli zeh avaloi b'mida, pshat is, I give him a bottle and I say, please fill up the bottle. But don't say, please fill up this quart bottle. Please fill up this gallon bottle. Just fill up the bottle. Now Rashi explains that's not the way people normally speak when they are doing in a store. When you're going and buying and selling a gallon or a quart, you don't just go and tell him, fill up this bottle. You tell him, this is a quart bottle, fill up the quart, fill up the gallon. That you're not allowed to do in Yom Tov because you don't want it to be Bederach Mekach Memker. You don't want it to be Uvdin Dechoyl. You want it to be Yom Tov.
You can bring this clip.
So you can go and bring a measuring kli, but don't mention the word mida. Just go and say, fill up this bottle. Whatever. I don't know what this bottle is. I'll show it to you tomorrow. Fill it up. Tomorrow we'll work out the details. Just fill up. But don't mention the word mida. It's avaloi b'mida, shalizko shaloi shem mida. Avakli, amiyucha l'mida, yimalenu. Even though it's miyucha l'mida, even though it's a measuring cup, it's no problem. Why? As long as he doesn't mention the word mida, it's okay. So that's one of the midos toivos that you have to have, not to mention the word mida on Yom Tov. Exactly. We also mutal lemeima kli hamiyucha lemida lo yimalenu. If it's a kli hamiyucha lemida, whether you mention the word quart, a gallon, makes no difference. It's a measuring cup. Exactly. You know what it's for. So even if he just says fill up this cup, fill up this bottle, everybody knows that this gallon, is shteita chavdeim, a big kiddush levuna oisius. This is a gallon mida. Therefore, Buddha says you can't use it. Yeah, good. You know the expression "kiddush levuna oisius."
Yeah.
I explained it one time. Okay, very good. Alma, what do we see from this? But the mice, we're gonna have the same kash as we had before. Because according to this new pshat, Rabbi Yehuda says don't use a kli miyucha l'mida at all, and the Rabbanan say you can, but just don't mention the word mida. It's like again, Rabbi Yehuda is a machmir, and the Rabbanan is meikel. I have a chashmina l'hold it. Nah, Rabbi Yehuda, I'm shoykalod and basa kineged a kli, you kineged a kupis a chumra. I'm mashiyim gavas I'm kol iker. I'm Rabbi Yehuda l'kula, Rabbanan l'chumra. Kach Rabbi Yehuda, kach Rabbanan ader Rabbanan. The Gemara gives similar terutzim. The terutz and Rabbi Yehuda is exactly the same. The Rabbi Yehuda, the Rabbi Yehuda like Kasha. Hossam, the reason why yesterday Rabbi Yehuda said that you can use a kli or a kupitz for measuring. No problem. However, over here, miyuchal lamida. Because according to Rava, what's pshat in the Mishnah, when Rabbi Yehuda says, it means a measuring cup, you're not allowed to fill. Even if he uses the words, fill up this cup, fill up this bottle, and he doesn't mention the word quart or liter or gallon, you're not allowed to use a kli miyuchal lamida. Oh, so very, very simple. A kli and kupitz is not miyuchal lamida, is mutter. Such a kli miyuchal lamida is also. The Rabbanan nami lekasha. Hasam ka'ovid ka'uvdin b'chayim. There, yesterday, as Rashi said before, when a person doesn't have his weights available, he occasionally will use his kupitz or kli as the counterbalance on the moiznayim. So it's uvdin b'chayim. Why? The Avdi Inshi, the Makarbi Chamra Bimana, the Kila Bishasu. What Rashi is saying is the fact that it happens to be a measuring cup is not so significant or relevant because there are people that give the measuring cup to go and drink from if a person doesn't have other glasses, he goes and gives him the measuring cup to drink from. Which means that a measuring cup is a multi-purpose type of kli. Since it's a multi-purpose type of kli, if you don't use the term mida and you just say fill up this cup or fill up this bottle, it's not a problem. Exactly. It could be for drinking, not because I'm doing a mekuchu memker. Just like I fill up this cup to go and offer to my friend to go and drink. Let's go and have a toast. Here, fill up this cup. I happen to know that this cup happens to be a full 16 ounces taka emes, and people use it taka for measuring, maskim, but people also use it for drinking. So as long as he uses the term malei likli zeh and he doesn't use the term mida, it's not a problem. Because it's already
multitask.
So like Ovid Uvn Dechoy, why is not Uvn Dechoy, says Rashi, because when a Lekeach comes into the store, he doesn't go and say, fill up this bottle. He says, give me a quart, give me a gallon, give me a liter. Here is my bottle, please fill it up and give me a liter worth, a lug worth, etc. So here, since all he said was fill it up, and he did not mention the word lug, kav, liter, gallon, quart, it's not uvdin dechayil. Ah, he's using a measuring cup, and Yehuda said if it's a measuring cup, it's already miyuchad lemida. Said the Chacham, there's no such thing as miyuchad lemida, because even though it's taka, miyuchad, it's unique that it has these measuring notches, but people use it for drinking too. To have the inch, the makarbi cham, and the mana tequila, vishasa, the people that use these measuring cups to go and drink, just like they used to use the yard side cups they used to go and use for cups. Ah, it's meant for yard side. They used to wash it out. Everybody used to have that. Han pastis nish, but say Amul, you get Eintach, right? You don't know what I'm talking about, right?
Throw it out.
They were thick and they were big. And people were not so affluent as they are today. So people used to go and use them for cups.
I remember in the shul that I davened, they used to use the, what do you call it, the wrappers about oranges. They used to stick that to the bathroom for toilet paper.
Oh, exactly.
Hold on. So we have Tropicana or Golden Flow. I went very quickly over this.
Okay, so what's the right. The basic teretz is the same in both cases.
What was the two steers?
Okay, so let's go back to our Mishnah. In our Mishnah, who's Machman, who's Mekel?
Rabbi, who's the Machmer?
In yesterday's Mishnah, who was the Machmer? Who was the Mekel? He was the Mekel. Is that a Stira?
Yes.
Good. So how do you fend for the Stira?
This is Michal the Mida. This is not Michal.
Exactly. So that's Rabbi and Rabbi. Now go to Rabbanan.
Okay.
Rabbanan yesterday, Rabbanan today, is Rabbanan Mekel or Machmer?
Relatively Mekel.
Let's make Mendy happy. And what were the Rabbanan yesterday?
Relatively Machmer.
What do you do about these two relatives? They're not going to get married. It's incestuous. But the problem is, what do you do with the Stira? Right? So today the reason why the Chum say that you're allowed to use Malik Lizer, because the Chum saying that's not Uvdin the Choyl. If you go and say, fill up this bottle, instead of saying, fill up this quart container, fill up this gallon, that's not Uvdin the Choyl. That's why it's Mutter today. Yesterday, the Kupetz or Kli, it's often that if the Moicher doesn't have his weights available, they're being cleaned, they're being washed, they're being fixed. It's a multi-purpose Kli, and therefore you...
My question, I have the answer, is why do we have two steers? It feels like we repeated the answer twice. What was the second steer?
Both steers are the same. The two pshatim, Rav Yehuda and Shmuel and Rava, are two different. Let's look in the Mishnah now.
I see the answers, but what was different in the question?
Okay, so let's get back to the Mishnah now. Since we start off the Mishnah, the two pshatim, we'll quickly review the two pshatim. The first pshat is, fill up this bottle, a regular, normal, average bottle, you're allowed to use avaloi b'mida, but don't use a kli hameyuchad l'mida, don't use a measuring cup, that's usur, don't use a measuring cup. Rabbi Yehuda says, not only don't use a measuring cup, don't even use a measuring cup that has never been used in its existence, because the person has it now for the last 5 years as his ultimate replacement cup, but it's never been used. But according to Tanakama, you could use the replacement cup, because it's not uvdin the choyl. Everybody sees it's brand new. It's a shin. So according to Tanakama, the nafkimina is between a regular, normal midah that he's been using for years and a brand new one that's never been used before. Rabbi Yehuda says, as long as it's a measuring cup, even if it's never used before, that's shot number one. Shot number two is, says the Tanakama, Malei Li Klize, you can use a measuring cup, no problem. Just don't use the word mida. Tell him, fill up this cup to the top, or fill it up halfway. But don't mention that to the top is a quart and halfway is a pint. Zognish, just fill up this cup. That's not a problem, because that's not Uvdin Dechoyl. You don't normally go and say, fill up my container. You go and say, fill up a quart container. Rabbi Yehuda says, if it's a kli shel mida, if it's a measuring cup, whether or not you use the term mida is irrelevant. It's a measuring cup, and therefore it's an Uvdin Dechoyl, and that's why you're not allowed to go and use it. Okay? Those are the two pshat. Yes, Rabbi Blum.
Nowadays, a person goes into a store to buy coffee.
Right.
So it's one, a small, medium, or large, and each one has, you know, the implications of the price difference, not just the seven, nine, or 12 ounces. In such a situation, what would we say? Because it's used for drinking, or it's because each one, in that setting, it's each one defines the price?
According to our mission, the Gemara, if the custom were...
Thank you.
If the custom were to always say, I want a 16-ounce cup, or a 9-ounce cup, or a 12-ounce cup, or a 15-ounce cup, you wouldn't be able to mention those, but you'd be able to go and say small, medium, and large. However, if in fact the Uvdin Dechoyl was to say small, medium, large, presumably you wouldn't be able to use those terms, and you'd have to go and say, yeah, I'll take one of these, without mentioning that it's the small one or the medium. I'm sorry?
The big problem, the guy came with three different size cups.
Fill up this one. Just make a shino. Don't use the term. If the normal Uvdin Dechoyl is to say small, medium, and large, you probably shouldn't use those terms. You just have to say, yeah, I want that cup over there, without mentioning whether it's the small one. So not to mention it. Okay, anyway, on to the next Gemara. Masabi Abishol ben Botnis. Now, in our Mishnah, it said that Abishol ben Botnis was makbid to go and fill up the midos the night before. What was the reason why he filled it up the night before? So we had a number of reasons in our Mishnah. The first reason was so that he shouldn't have to use the term midah. It was all pre-filled. Just like today, if you go into a store on Yontif, talking about, and we're now paying for it, of course, believe that there should be a Marisai and whatever. But according to our Gemara, if you went into the liquor store, you wouldn't have to go and say, please go and fill up my jug, fill up my bottle. All the bottles are ready, pre-sealed, pre-filled, all the rest. So that's what Abishol ben Botnis did. He pre-filled all of them, so you didn't have this problem of fill me up the bottle, fill up a measuring cup. It was all full.
There were no soda caps to worry about.
Oh, utter anyway, so that was the way he did. Now, even the Moiri did that, said the Mishnah. Why? Because of Beruri Hamidais. So we already explained Beruri Hamidais means that additional foam or froth that comes on the top, that if you're going to wait until it goes down, it's going to take a long time. People are not going to wait. And therefore, when they get home, they'll see that it's missing 2% at the top, etc. So that's why he used to fill it from before Cholamai. His son of Avamoid Oisa came, then they bittle Beis HaMedrash. Oh, I can't stand the time. It doesn't say because of Brew Remedies. It says because of bittle Beis HaMedrash. So Rashi says that these two reasons really go hand in hand. That what's pshat? That normally, since Abishol ben Botnis was such an Erlech Yid, he was so frum and such a tzaddik, he wouldn't allow the seller to leave, the buyer to leave the store until he made sure he got his full midah. But if you're going to wait and wait and wait on every single customer until finally the froth settles, you could be there the whole day. And Abishol ben Botnis wanted to go and learn. He wanted to go and teach. He wanted to learn Torah. Rashi says people used to come to him with shilas, so that he would be busy the whole time with waiting and waiting and waiting. So that's why he used to go and fill it up the day before, so that everything would be full already, and he wouldn't have to waste time going and waiting for the people until the froth settled, because it would already be settled from before, and he had already filled it up from the day before.
Take a look at the solution of Rashi. The moyed rabim oistim betoyra she'ain tadudin b'mloch.
Oh.
You hear that?
Yeah.
It's
a double push.
People think differently. What? Today they think, no, the moyed means you don't learn. But I think this is what Rashi
I don't know where you come from, and wherever I come from, you more the time for learning, and they fill up the Bata Midrashim, and Malan,
the
Baruch Hashem.
I live in Wiesbaden, used to hang out Chalamoid in the Polish Yeshiva.
Exactly. Anyway, getting back to our Gemara. So, Bittul Bismanish, he didn't want to waste time, he was able to learn. Turn about him. Who conas shloish meois gar v'yayin mi biruri hamidois. What he would collect 300 barrels of wine from these Berurei Amidais. The Chaverim Kontzu Shloishmi is Garvi Shemen Mimitzi Amidais. And his Chaverim collected together 300 barrels of Shemen from the slow drip that they didn't have time to wait. I don't understand. Didn't we just say that he was so careful and so erlich, he did it the night before and everything was full today? What's going on over here? Jokta Tesis Rid, that Abishol ben Botnis, because of his fame of being such an erlich Soicher, he had lines from here to Canarsie. And therefore, even though he prepared in advance the day before 500 containers, they were all sold out in the first 5 minutes, and he still had 500 people waiting online. So he didn't prepare enough containers for everybody. So they all went and filled it up on the spot. The problem is that people didn't have the patience to wait until it all settled. They all wanted to run back to the Polish Shishtibel to go and learn in the Lower East Side because it was Cholamoid. They didn't want to miss a moment of learning Torah. So when they came home, they saw that the wine had come down a little bit. So he, being Abishol ben Botnis, fadined, he profited from the people's impatience or their lack of time. And therefore, how much did he profit? Through Agantzi Yontif, perhaps multiple Yom Tovim, he was able to profit 300 barrels of wine from this settling of the froth.
Because
then a guzma. 300 from time to time, the more you use the guzma. Now, how did they figure this out? So Rashi says it was very, very simple. He knows in the large container, in this large barrel, Lamushal has in it 300 pints. He knows that he had 300 customers who he gave each one a pint to. Okay. And nevertheless, he looks in the barrel, hey, I still have a whole bunch of wine left. How could that be? The barrel has 300 pints and I sold 300 pints to 300 people. That's because people didn't have the patience to wait, and now whatever's left over, the 2%, 3%, 5%, after a while, it's all accumulated until you had 300 barrels full. And the other, the competitors, Chaverov, who sold Shemen, they had 300 garve, they had 300 barrels of Shemen. Anyway, they did not want to be nehenna from this additional liquid. They brought it to the Gizborim Yishalayim, and they said to them, here, do with it what you want. For Tzarchi Hegdish, Rashi points out, they
donating it. It's not
Gilein, Chalila. Well, I'm not finished. Everybody said, don't be nervous. So they gave it to the Gizbar. Rashi said they were not Makdish it. They felt that they couldn't be Makdish. Abishol ben Batnas felt he didn't have the power and authority because Ein Oda Makdish Dobra She'ena Shaloi. He felt that it was not his. He couldn't be Makdish it. And therefore, or says Rashi, another Pshat, because we had a posse before that you're now going to go and bring Gezel Bo'ila. In other words, you're now going to bring Kerbonis. Going to bring karbonis from Gezel. They felt that there's Ashtikl Gezel, and they said to the Gizbarim, we don't want to have a no, you take it, if you can use it, Gizinta Heights, but we're
hefker,
not.
It's more hefker than Gezel, says Yush, the Bailam left.
But if you wait just another moment, it's Omru Lehem. So now the Chacham heard this, and they sent back a message. We want you to know that since your intention was not Chas V'Sholom Gezel, and because the Koinim know that they are going to lose out because of their impatience, they know that if they waited another hour, all the froth would come down, and then you could fill it up to the top. But they don't want to wait. Therefore, they're moichel on this small percentage. You didn't need to do that. You could have kept it for yourself. Omru Lehem, so they said back to the Chacham, even though you're right, mitzad halacha, af onu, ein ritzay neina b'kach, we don't want to have a no, even from the perception of an impropriety of taking things that they didn't pay for, getting this additional profit, we don't want it. What should we do with it? Yeah. Since you're so machmer on yourselves, don't give it for kabbodes for tzorchei hegdish. Asumi em tzorchei rabim. Rather, you should go and use it for communal needs and purposes. Visadya gozel any day of me gozel. Now, this is talking about mamish gezel. You're talking about a person who's a gozlin, a wired erp type of guy who has gone and stolen from 1,000 people, and now b'seif yom decides to go and do tshuva, but he can't go and give back to this guy $1,000 and $5. He has no idea who he stole from. He doesn't know how much he stole from each one of them. Yazvim tzorchei rabim. My ninu wusses the tzorchei rabim. My ninu am Rav Yehuda. What you heard of Chizda? Boy to shichadim arois. Everybody needs drinking water, and people in the good old days, they didn't have faucets with taps and all the rest, but rather they used to go and take it from reservoirs, they used to take it from boilers, from wells, etc.
Cisterns.
So, cisterns. I'm always afraid of a cistern because somebody will say, I shouldn't talk about women, we should talk about brethren. But anyway, brethren, but the point is that they had these public wells for water, and these public wells presumably from time to time had to be repaired, had to be maintained. You should give them money for those purposes. Today we would say to go and fix the potholes, you know, they use it for communal purposes. Okay. All this was not necessary. This is only mitzad mamish mahadrim and mahadrim because these people were grace of machmirim on their erlichkeit. Back in the night, and Rabbi Cohen will love this story. Back in the early 1950s, the Tzela Meruv, he had Reb Dovid. Beginning of the early 1950s, the Tzela Meruv came out with a new standard called not just kosher, but also glatt kosher. This is something new in the ganze Welt, glatt kosher. Rabbi Cohen will say, "Vusayz glatt kosher." Okay, anyway. Then they asked Rav Breuer, Zechon Levrucha, because Breuer is also gave Ashgocha meat, but he also wants to make a new darga of glatt kosher. Thought about it, he says, he's maskim. But he said, however, why is it when it comes to kashrus, people are always nervous, it should be glatt? Why isn't it when it comes to yashrus and being honest, why don't you have glatt yoshe? People should say, I don't want to just be yoshe, I want to be glatt yoshe. This was Abishol ben Batnas, he wants to be glatt yoshe. I don't want to accept, even though Mitzara did, the guys were moichel, they didn't have the patience, it's not his fault. He wanted to be glatt yashrus, not only glatt kashrus.
I need the phone
call.
Sounds like the Naya Heksha with the Tala Yoshi.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, and we continue on. Four lines from the bottom. Adberei Rav Chizda l'Rav Na'ukva v'dorash. Adberei means to go and lead. So he was leading Rav Na'ukva, and he started dashing.
Yad b'ramen tachteinu.
Okay,
that's
Zayit.
The same way.
Fine, good. What's the thing that I should? La yimdoit odem sa'oidem yitel of nebehemtoi be yontiv, aval koiduru kav oi kabayim and oisel of nebehemtoi ve ene choshish. Since we're talking about don't do uvden dechoil, don't think that this only applies to bein odom lachavera, in other words, between mortals. Even al gabbe behemis, don't go and make a medida, because it looks like uvden dechoil that you're going and measuring it. But his behemah needs a certain amount to eat. So you know what you should do? Koiduru. Koiduru means to go and bore a hole, or in this case means to scoop. So Rashi explains that you had, for instance, a whole heap of sa'irim of barley. Normally, what would you do? You would take your hand, you have a container of chvais, a gallon container, and you'd go and take your hand and you'd go and take 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 heaps, or not heaps, handfuls of sa'irim from the heap, putting it into your container until it filled up to the gallon, and then you go and give it to your Bahaima and say, Mr. Bahaima, here I have the gallon for you to go and eat from. Aha. On Yom Tov, you shouldn't do that. Rather, take the whole gallon container and scoop it into the heap. Go into the heap and scoop out to fill it up with such a scooping motion. Don't go and put it handfuls into the container and measure a gallon. Instead, what he can do is he can bore a hole by scooping the container into the heap itself and take out a kava kabayim. Then everything is fine. Nachtem we normally think of as a baker, but Nachtem is not only a baker, it's also a cook. Here, don't go and say, well, it's Uvn Dechoil, he shouldn't go and measure. If you're not going to go measure, you might put in a little bit too much pepper or not enough salt, and nobody's going to want to eat from it because it's not going to have any top. So here, since it's Oichel Nefesh, you are allowed to go and be very particular and put in a pinch of pepper and a handful of a scoop, a teaspoonful of sugar, whatever you need. That's not a problem. The word yaktiach means it shouldn't get burned. You don't mean to go and burn, but it means that you're going to spoil it by putting in too much spice.
Maybe
it's going to be
so much spice that it
might burn your tongue, exactly, like as a Mexican type of thing. Yeah. Kanza. When the woman is going and baking lemushel chalas or matzahs or whatever on yontiv, she's allowed to go and measure the kemach. Why is she allowed to measure? You said you're not supposed to measure. Here you're allowed to, because we want her to go and give challah. Challah means the portion that you give to the kohen. We want to give it b'ayin yofet. Explains Rashi. If she's not going to go and measure it, and she's just going to go and fill it up and fill up the kneading bowl with a lot of kemach, she goes, nah, I think it was only 3 pounds. I only have to give a little amount. However, if she actually measures it, she sees it wasn't 3 pounds, it was 5 pounds. Oh, 5 pounds, I have to give a nice portion of challah. So therefore, she should measure it, so she should give the proper amount to the kohen, and she shouldn't go and estimate, because I'm afraid if she's going to estimate, she might estimate a little bit too low. Shmuel said that it is awesome.
Don't measure.
No, fill it up and then make your own assessment how much it is. So Shmuel says awesome. But it's peladik. V'tanadavei Shmuel mutter. Now what means tanadavei Shmuel? So Rashi says, just like we know that Rabbeinu HaKadosh codified and assembled all the Mishnayot, and we know that Rabbi and Rabbi Oishia assembled and codified many brises, Shmuel had his own codification of brises, and he had a brisa where it said that it's mutter for a woman to go and measure the exact amount of kemach. And Shmuel himself said, "Also, I bet on Shmuel is mutter." So Shmuel is going against his very own brises that he codified and collected. Amar Abaye Hashli Amar Shmuel Asa Betanav Shmuel Mutter. So Vos Tupman Yet is it Mutter Mutter Asa? Make up your mind. Shmuel Alocha LaMaisa Asa Hashminan. Shmuel is telling us Alocha LaMaisa. What it means, he's coming to tell us Alocha LaMaisa. What he's telling us is the Be'emes and Be'emes, and we follow like it says in the Brisa, that the Brisa says that it's Mutter. However, Shmuel didn't want to go and tell people that it's Mutter because he's afraid that it's going to bring on Zilzel in Yontiv, and therefore, if he had to go and paskin, he would go and say it's osir, that people should be machmir, don't measure it. But lemaisa, the real din is taka that it's mutter, like it said in the price.
That's lashem we had yesterday.
Yeah, in fact, Rashi uses that expression. If you go back to the Omer Aleph, look at the last Rashi on the left hand margin, not on the right hand margin, left hand margin, last Rashi. Exactly. Rashi has the last word. But let's look at the last Rashi. Hashi the Omer Shmuel osir. V'hu shana b'mishnasoi mutter. Shmuel says it's osir, but in his Mishnah, in his Braisa, he said it's mutter. Shmuel b'shmaita di omer osir halacha l'mais osir l'ashmina. That what? Shehaba lishoil halacha l'aseis maisa moirin loy osir. However, b'chazinan inish di ovid, if I see someone who does measure out the kemach when they're baking the chalas on yontiv, loy machinim b'yontiv. We don't go and stop making the chalas. How are you doing that? Blah, 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 blah. You don't. Because Allah the mutter, the ain't modern cake. The Allah ain't modern cake. It's good?
Yes, it right. Is. Yes,
exactly. In general, when you tell a mice in the garden, you always say, Allah the mice did it.
Otis.
It makes no difference exactly. What he said. Mm-hmm. So you look at the mice,
a mice are the ultimate. Mice are up. Yes. Very good. New Shikimar. Turn around. Ein shoinin kemach beyontif. The word shoinin over here doesn't come from the word shinoi, it comes from the word repeat, like the word shnayim, doing it a second time. As all of you know, whenever you have sifted your flour, you have to go and sift the flour to remove the impurities. Those impurities are what they call today bran, which used to be a machal b'haima, but today that's very nourishing and they charge more for it, and they write on the cereal boxes that's 5% bran, 10% bran, a ganze ganze zach, but years ago this was subin, which was considered to be the psoilus. Anyway, but the point is that once you sifted the flour the first time, that you're not allowed to do on Shabbos or Yom Tov, because that's the melacha of merakeid, sifting. However, the second time, that's the shaila of the Gemara, if you're allowed to do it or not. Now, the second time, we're talking about the very same sieve. We're not talking about a finer sieve. Because if you're talking about a finer sieve with smaller holes, then it's as if you're sifting it for the first time. Because the purpose of doing it is to go and sift it even more, to go and remove even another degree of an impurity. We're talking about the exact same sieve that already did its job the first time. You're going to put it through the second time. There's not going to be a difference in the birur. It's only going to make it look a little bit nicer. The texture might be split up a little bit differently.
You could eat it without it. You would eat it without it. That's
exactly.
The point.
And also Rashi is leka tircha. So nishka groisa tircha, because it's the same thing that you did before. Uh-huh. Anyway, so the point is, let's look at the top Rashi. The first one, the Yama says, ain't shining kemach. She rocked in me as well. You already did your rakida, your sifting from the day before. Uba lishnoisei, not lishanoisei, but lishnoisei, to go and repeat it, benapoli apoise, to make it look nicer and prettier. Ain't shining the efshalim yes. Well, he could have done the second time yesterday too, just like the first time he could have done it yesterday. He could have done the second time yesterday. So don't do it. However, the other man yama says shining the lekatircha the dover hanirahu shazu he pamshnia veinze kimarakin livra. This is not the miracle of being borer, of trying to remove the psoilus from the oichel. That would be prohibited. This is just to make it prettier. Prettier, that's okay, according to the second man yama. So back to the Gemara, so we have a machloikis whether you can re-sift flour that was already pre-sifted from Erev Yontiv, can you do a second time on Yontiv? It's Tanarabon. Ain't shining kemach b'yontiv, you're not allowed to re-sift it. Mishum Rapipayas of Yehuda Ben Seir Amru, shani, you are allowed to. Vishavim, but both agree. Shem nofal etoichan tzror oy kisein. What happens if in the mixture fell in a steindl, a small rock or stone, or kisem as a spendl? Spendl means like a toothpick, a splinter, whatever. Shishon, and then you are allowed to go and sift it, because that's not sifting it for the purposes of making it finer flour. The purpose over there is to go and remove this tzror or kisem so that it shouldn't go and fall into the mixture. Tani Tanaka made Ravina, ain't shining kemach beyontiv, you're not allowed to re-sift it. Avanofa tsuror oy kissim boyer biyodai. Don't do it through a sieve. If you have a problem of a tsuror kissim, locate it and remove it with your fingers, with your hat. In other words, that's a better way of doing it. Amalei, so when Ravina heard that, he said, Chas v'sholem, kolshkin di osad, havalei boyer. Anytime you're removing boyer, just like you can't go and remove the fish bones from the fish, and you can't go and take out the watermelon pits from the watermelon, so you can't go and take out the tzor kisem biyad. If you did it by sifting it a second time, that wouldn't be a problem because everybody knows this is garnished. However, you're doing it with your hands, boyer is worse. Kibboyer, yeah, kibboyer.
I don't think it's really
good.
No, because it's. It's a shinui.
Mm-hmm.
Usually don't do such things with the hand.
Now look at the Rashi, fifth line to the top. Koshkein di osur. The mechse kibayr. It looks like moir. Ubayr amalachi kehargod. Vahashoina enoi merakid. Sharin nirisha kol yoitz ve'en kantzubin. are you going to tell me, even without the benefit of the, or the disadvantage of the tzurah kisim, why are you allowed to re-sift? Says Rashi, it's not merakit, that's not sifting. Shari nira, everybody sees shahakol yoytze, the entire amount that you had before comes out again through the exact same holds. They ain't consumed, there's no bran left, because the bran you already took out the first time. So the re-sifting is not harkada, because all you're doing is you're putting it through the second time, the whole thing is the same.
Well, I mean that in Hilchas Boiter, the hand is better than a machine. Always.
Okay.
And that's the halach that you do, you boiter beyat. And here it seems mamash vakeh.
That's my kash. Yeah, I understand.
You're allowed to sift it the first time on Yom Tov?
First time, you're not allowed to sift it on Yom Tov. You're asking why not?
No.
So Rashi said at the beginning of the parak, just like by Tzeda, why can't you go and capture on Yom Tov? Because you should have captured it from yesterday. That was Rashi. Tosis rather disagreed, and Tosis said that you learn from Madrasha and Yerushalmi, since it says the Melechas of the Mishkan, and then it says Shemartim and Samatzos, that from Melisha the Eilach, from the kneading and further, that's permissible, but anything pre-kneading. So by definition, if you're sifting the flour, you're not kneading it, kneading with a K, but kneading. It's before the making the Kneidlach, it's when you, so that point is also because Shemartim and Samatzos only from Melisha.
Knishes is like with a K.
Is it about it? People eat knishes, they don't eat nishes, right? People go watch the Knicks. They don't watch the Knicks. Okay, anyway, again, right. Zogti more about Dorish Rav Barafuna Zuti Apischa de Neado Shoinen Kemach Biyontiv. So now Rav Barafuna Zuti came to the Pesach of Neado, and he came with a grisa chidush to go and tell Agvaldige Dvar Halacha. And he says, Shoinen, you're allowed to go and sift the Kemach on Yontiv.
Now that is Shmuel's territory.
He says, Amalu Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman said to Rav Barafuna Zuti, Poiku va'amr le'le Abba, go and tell your father, Shkila tivusech v'shadi achizri, poikhazikam mahult hadron b'nehedo. So he's saying is, I know you think that you're bringing new agris chiddush over here, and everybody's going to love you because of this beautiful kula that you said that you can go and re-sift the flour. So we've been doing it like this already for the last 50 years. So shukoyach for your heter and for the grisa kula. But this is old news. This is shon alta borscht. Shkila tzavuzech means go and take your toivis. In other words, that your new accomplishment.
You're not doing us any toivis.
Exactly. Shodi achizri means you can go and throw it on the thorns. In other words, you haven't given us any benefit. Poichazi, go and look around and you see kama mahulta hadabinador, how many sifters are being used on Yontif the second time for re-sifting. In other words, this everybody does it. So you're not telling us any naya chidushim. Shkoyich, thank you very much, but it's really unnecessary. The bisu de Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef's wife, Nohala Kimcha Hagaba de Mahulta. She used to go and re-sift the kemach. Agavad mehulta means says Rashi ba'achoyre hanapa kidei l'shanes. In other words, the sieve, as you know, is a thing that has holes in it. Instead of going and putting the flour in from the top so it should fall through the bottom, she turned it upside down and she put the flour from the bottom and it went through to the other side to the top. The maisa came out the same, but the point is that she wanted to make a shinoi to go and chase yontif even by the re-sifting. Amalah, so his Reb Yosef said to his wife, Chazi dano riftam al yisabina, ishikoyich that you are being so machmir, but I want to have very well sifted flour. You don't have to go and find nayachemris. I'm tefridin, you should do it the normal way. It's not necessary for you to go and make any shinui, because we already passed in before that shoinin kemach beyond the gzuntite, that you're allowed to re-sift. So it's not necessary for you to go and learn shoinin, meloshin shinui, that you have to be mishana. It's not necessary to be mishana. Go and sift the normal way, because if you're going to go and play games and machkan tzachemris, it's not going to come out as good chalas as I'm always used to. So therefore, just do it the normal way. Don't be machmir.
If re-sifting is not a tircha because it's not really accomplishing anything new, then what's the whole purpose of doing it in the first place?
Why are you doing it in the first place? Rashi says because it's
in the second place, I should say.
Very good. You're doing it because you want it to look nicer. Lia poisoi. Apparently the texture is better. In other words, the first time you sift is to go and remove any impurities. But some of it might get bunched together and it become clumps. You put a second time so that it should fall through nicely, so now it's like a nice powder as opposed to something which is more condensed and more together. It doesn't stick. Rashi says, Liyapoisai, the top Rashi. She rocked me, Esmo, Ubalishnoise, Benapa Liyapoisai. To make it prettier, nicer, the texture should be better. So they ain't showing in the Efshlim. Esmo, first Anakama says, no. She says, Hekman Yom, she's showing in your lap, to Nishru Katir. Right. to irate. Oh, to irate it. So now you have the answer. Do you want to irate
it? It's different than Rashi, but it is.
Okay, whatever, to make it pretty and nice.
But it's not the Yisur of Akkadah.
Maybe it's all flat, and by putting it through the sieve, now it comes down like a nice, like a teepee, like a triangle, like a pyramid. It looks pretty, it looks nicer. To go and give us an undershenkite. But not mitzad sifting, mitzad to go and improve the appearance.
It's the form, not the...
The form, not the substance. I get it. Okay, on to the next shtickel. So that was the wife of Rav Yosef. The divisid Rav Ashi, no la kimcha agabet psoira. Wow, according to the way Rashi learns, she was really mishani. You could see that she was a very, very frum lady. She would go and not go and put it on the top of the table, but she would turn the table upside down, and she would use it in that form. See, look at Rashi. There was some sort of depression in the table. In other words, it wasn't a flat table. In the table, there was some sort of depression, like a base kibble in there. And apparently, this was the type of depression which was reversible, that when it was flat on this side, you can go and push it down, and then you turn the table upside down, you can push it again to the other direction.
But there was a sifted there on the table?
I don't know. Exactly how it works, basically, but she uses an upside down table. You see, Rashi Agabat the Pseudah, Achorei Shulchan, on the back of the table. She Yesh Lai Toich, the Shulchan itself had some sort of base kibble. She carried in, this is the famous Tundoira table. The Hoise Shoina Hakemach al Achoreiv Mishim Shinoi. So, in other words, she turned the tables on him so that it should be a special Shinoi for Yantav. As I learned Rashi Pshat. Toises doesn't like this Pshat, and Toises says, the medafish onkum that she turned all the tables upside down, but rather agabe the pseudo means that instead of putting it through your normal sieve, she did it on the top of the table. The agabe means on top of the pseudo. Normally you'd go and put it through the sifter machine, through the sieve. She would go and do it on the shulchan mamish. In other words, presumably by the sieve. If you remember, we had a few days ago in the Mishnah that it had three parts to it. You had the part of the grinder.
The bottom part
the bottom part, the clay kibble, she apparently removed that clay kibble. Instead of all of the flour falling through the sieve into a clay kibble, which was part of the larger sieve machine, she let it go onto the table itself, and then she would collect it together from the table.
That's a little bit easier to understand. It's hard to believe that the table was a sift.
Exactly, yeah. That's so schwer. Okay. Rav Ashi. Hadidon. So now Rav Ashi is explaining why his wife did it that way. He says, Hadidon. Unzra means my wife. That's a nice way of saying it. My wife, Hadidon. Paratid Rami Bar Choma. She's the daughter of Rami Bar Choma. Meaning Rav Ashi was married to the daughter of Rami Bar Choma. Rami Bar Choma, Morad Uvdahaba. Now, Morad Uvdahaba normally means he is the Baal HaMaisa. However, Rashi said Morad Uvdahaba means that he was medactic b'masav. Everybody knows Egevin. Agruyusa medactic, agruyusa machme. He was very, very careful about everything that he did. If she wouldn't have seen that her father did it this way, she wouldn't have done it that way. So therefore, if she's doing it, it's Mesoiris Aviseha or Aviha Viyodeha, and that's why she's doing it, because she continues the Mesoiris office. Yes! Reb Simcha, I'm waiting to hear something.
Lichtenstein is the son of Rabbi Soloveitch.
Okay, good.
One night, one year at the Seder, he was just about finished Magid, and he had 10 minutes left to Chatzos. So he said, I guess we're going to have to eat the matzah quickly, got ready tomorrow, and eat Havkur right away, and bench. So in the background you hear, Aaron, I come from a religious home also, we're going to eat the meal. The Kachavan ate the meal.
And who is the person from the back?
He's married to Mrs. Tova.
She's the father used to do it.
Yes.
So the voice in the bass call from the back, that was his wife saying about the father.
Okay.
So all this is fascinating. Let's finish the Mishnah. Let's finish the Perek. Yishok the Mishnah Vaitim. Hoylich Odom Eitzel Chenveni Harogel Etzloi. You go to the storekeeper that you're familiar with, and you can go and say, I want a dozen eggs, or I want to have 20 nuts. As we'll see in the Gemara, apparently even the eggs, and certainly the nuts, they didn't typically go and sell by the number, they sold it by the weight. And therefore, if you bought a pound of just like today, you buy a pound of nuts. You don't go and buy 12 nuts or 5 nuts or 10 nuts. So apparently by Beyim with the same thing. You're allowed to go and sell it b'minyan. In other words, you're not supposed to go and say the weight, I want a pound, but you can go and say, I want a minyan, I want 12 nuts, 20 nuts, 25 nuts. Why? Because that's not the derech of moichrim, of sochrim. That's the derech of a balabais. At home, the wife says to the husband, do me a favor, can you please take out of the refrigerator? I need 5 eggs, 10 eggs. So therefore, that's not a derech of mekuch memker, it's a derech of balabais. That's already a shinui, it's not an uvnim dechoil, that's not the way you normally sell. So that's permissible, you can do it. Why did it say chenveni rogel etzloi? Because if you're going to go to a chenveni that you're not familiar with, the chenveni may not trust you that you're going to go and pay him after yontif. So you go to a chenveni that you've gone, you're a steady customer, that he knows you. So that's the only reason why rogel etzloi lavdafka, but the point is, because
practical.
I'm practical, exactly. If you're going to go to a chenveni that never met you, he's going to say, mister, go to your regular store, figure it out. I don't know you, I don't know if you're going to pay me, etc. Zokti mar. He go to his normal shepherd that he goes to when he has to buy animals. When he says, "Ten li gdi echad, kle echad, please go and sell me a gdi or a kle." Eitzel tabach rogel etzla. He goes to his regular butcher. Ten li kaf achas, a yerech achas. Go and give me a kaf. Kaf doesn't mean here a spoon. It would mean a kaf, a chweis, a part of the thigh, a higher part, a lower part, whatever. A yerech achas. Another like a pulke, or Yerachachas, give me a thigh from the animal. Eitzel patam rogel etzloi. Patam is a person that fattens the oifois, just like in the Heim they used to have gestopte gens, which was a big shala, whether it was kush or not. Gestopte gens means that they used to go and stop the. Exactly, not conflict. Aufstoppen the geese. So then afterwards the geese would go and become very fat, and it was big shalas because very often they would make perforations in the esophagus by stopping them. That's why they would be stopped against. The gens wouldn't want to eat, so you'd go and push the food down the esophagus.
Some kind, and you push the food.
You push the food down. But that became very problematic because often it made a hole, and then there were big shalas by the rabbunim where there was kosher nut. But the point.
See them didn't need it.
Okay. Anyway, but the point is that's why they call a patam because they were stoppers that would go and stop the oif. Is I need a pigeon, I need a bird to go and eat for yot. He goes to his regular baker. I need one loaf or gluska achas, or one gluska means like a bulkula, a roll. Oh, now our Mishnah, he goes to his chenveni. I need 20 eggs, I need 50 egoism. Farsikin, the usually says peaches, 10 peaches. 5 pomegranates, esrik, I need 1 esrik. But don't use the term gallon or pint or weight of a pound. Exactly, that pound is really a mishkal. I mean, don't use any measure, but you can go and talk about minyan because apparently that was not the way they sold them. They didn't go and sell 20 eggs. They sold a pound of eggs. As you come to chayes. Reb Shimon Elazar Oimer Uvad Shlo Yaskes Chumekach. Reb Shimon Elazar is not so makpid on using the term mida. Him, the important thing is don't say how much you're going to go and pay. Don't go and say a dollar a pound. Don't say that. I can go and take 5 pounds, 2 pounds, etc. That's not a problem. Good Reb Shimon Elazar. The important thing is don't mention any price. Mention tomorrow you'll come back. The moich will ask you how much did you buy. It took 2 pounds. Oh, each pound is a dollar. He paid $2. Han loch in turn, loch in turn, loch in turn. Ha, maybe got the end of Mokom, Mokom.